This is music from Darcy James Argue and Secret Society from the Newport Jazz Festival. Welcome to The Checkout, a podcast and radio show from WBGO. I'm Josh Jackson. The Newport Jazz Fest is a place where stars are born, artistry blooms, and careers sometimes redeemed. That was the case of Duke Ellington in 1956. Darcy James Argue adds to that history with the premiere of his Ellingtonia-inspired commission for big band. We also remember the funkiest, filthy McNasty, the always bluesy Horace Silver. But first, folks are calling John Batiste the next big jazz star, but maybe he's a comet. We'll witness the pianist's rise to popularity. That's up next on The Checkout, the 60th Newport edition, part one. I'm Josh Jackson. Thanks for checking in. Welcome pianist John Batiste, and stay human.
Got the hands. Loving is the only way.
People in the World, performed by John Batiste and Stay Human, from the 60th Newport Jazz Festival.
Give you anything but love. Thank you.
That's the traditional New Orleans gospel song, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. And before that, Why You Gotta, music performed by John Batiste, recorded at the 60th Newport Jazz Festival celebration from Fort Adams State Park in Rhode Island. Coming up next, composer Darcy James Argue and Secret Society, a world premiere, and an extended suite specifically composed for this occasion. Tensile Curves. Later, a tribute to Horace Silver. Stick around. This is The Checkout. I'm Josh Jackson.
This is Darcy James Argue, coming to you from the Newport Jazz Festival for their 60th anniversary. My band, Secret Society, played here. We actually premiered a piece of music that was co-commissioned by the Newport Jazz Festival called Tensile Curves, kind of this epic construction, and it was written partially in honor of the history of the Newport Jazz Festival. And so I was thinking back to all the legendary music that has been performed here over the years. And, of course, probably the most famous performance is the Duke Ellington Diminuendo and Crescendo in Blue. Everyone remembers that for the Paul Gonsalves 27 choruses of Wailing Blues, but the piece itself is a really brilliant piece of music that Duke wrote back in 1937, and so I kind of used that as my inspiration for writing this piece, Tensile Curves. It's a diminuendo. It starts loud and intense and very busy, then it gradually gets softer. It starts off on with this really fast swing groove, and then by the end of it, it's slowed down to the point where we really get this very languid, grinding swing. Thank you. Hi, I'm Darcy James Argue. I lead an 18-piece big band called Secret Society. You are listening to a special edition of The Checkout from the Newport Jazz Festival.
Thank you. Thank you.
Excerpts from D'Arcy James Argue and Secret Society, Tensile Curves.
Thank you so
from
much.
The Newport Jazz Festival. Up next, WBGO's Gary Walker in conversation with Horace Silver. This is The Checkout. I'm Josh Jackson. Horace Silver died on June 18th, 2014. He was 85. The pianist once said, "I don't believe in politics, hatred, or anger in my composition." In fact, he conveyed quite the opposite, as you'll hear in this 1999 appearance with WBGO's Gary Walker. In this friendly conversation, they discuss Horace Silver's Cape Verdean roots, his hits on Blue Note Records, and an unorthodox way of composing. Silver begins by talking about getting his first big gig with Art Blakey's band and joining his buddy, trumpeter Kenny Dorham.
I met Art Blakey at Audubon Ballroom, one of those ballrooms uptown New York, up in Harlem, years ago. I'll tell you how I met him. I had played a concert in Bridgeport, Connecticut. A friend of mine produced this concert in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and I was about 18 years old at the time, you know. And he brought up Big Nick Nicholas and Harold Cumberbatch and Jack the Bear Parker, Kenny Durham. He brought Kenny Durham up. And me and Kenny became kind of tight, you know, became friendly. And Kenny invited me down to New York one Sunday to go to this ballroom with him. He was working with Art Blakey and a group called The Messengers. It was a big band, you know, made up of all Muslim guys, you know. And so I went down, and early that afternoon, me and Kenny had lunch together, and we hung out, you know. And then in the evening, we went to the ballroom, and I stood backstage and listened to the band as they played, you know. And that's how I met Art Blakey during the intermission. I met him. That's the first time I met him. And of course, later on, I, you know, met him again and eventually wound up playing with him.
The Cape Verdean Blues. The Cape Verdean Blues, very close to you. In fact, your father was?
Cape Verdean.
Cape Verdean.
Yeah, Cape Verdean Portuguese, yeah.
And your mother was from Connecticut.
Right.
And you were exposed to the folk music then as a very early on up there in Norwalk, right?
Well, I had several uncles who lived there, you know, in the same town.
Uh-huh.
Not only my uncles, but there were a few other Cape Verdean Portuguese guys who lived there. A guy named Nick Santos, who had a barbershop there, he loved music, and he played the violin and the banjo and the guitar and all that kind of stuff, you know. All these guys played by ear. They couldn't read a note, you know. But my dad played a little violin and a guitar by ear. You know, and sometimes they'd get together in the back of the barbershop and play their music, you know, and have fun. I remember when I was a little kid, they used to have, like on the weekend sometime on a Saturday night, they'd have a party in our kitchen, you know. You know, the kitchen table was usually in the center of the room. They'd push it back to the side. And the ladies would cook fried chicken and potato salad and stuff, and they'd have whiskey and beer and whatever. And these people would come in from the neighborhood. American blacks people and also Cape Verdean people who were there in that town, you know. They'd have a little party, dance-like party, and my dad and Mr. Santos and a lot of the other guys, a couple of my uncles, get together and play this music, you know, play it, sing it, you know, and men and wives would get together and dance in the middle of the kitchen floor, you know.
And Horace Silver sitting there right at the foot of the stairs in his PJs, probably, because it was
That's right. You heard that. I told that story to somebody before.
Just listening.
The PJs with the flap in the back, you know.
Of course. You got to have that flap in the back. Silver, the creator of so many of what you could call jazz hits, from Doodlin' to Song for My Father, Cape Verdean Blues, Que Pasa, and so many other things, Senor Blues, for example. But you were also on hand early on, weren't you, on some of those early Miles recordings that were done in Van Gelder's living room before he actually had a studio?
Oh, yeah.
And that was right here. That was right up in
Englewood
before,
yeah,
he
right.
actually, uh-huh. before he actually had a studio.
That's right. Yeah.
And he used to... chords and everything running all over the living room.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's where you made some of those great records.
Yeah.
That must have been quite an experience.
Yeah, it was. I cannot forget those great masters that I had, not only the pleasure and privilege, but the blessing of playing with, you know, people like Coleman Hawkins, you know. I mean, didn't everybody get a chance to play with somebody like that? You know?
And Lester Young and Oscar Pettiford.
I played with Lester Young. I played with Coleman Hawkins, Oscar Pettiford, Stan Getz, with Miles, with Art Blakey, with Kenny Clark and Percy Heath and J.J. Johnson and Milt Jackson. I mean, you can't get no better than that, you know. So I was blessed to play with those guys, you know.
You know, was there any kind of sign when you were making some of those classic Blue Note records that Alfred Lion and Francis Wolfe, did they give any sign as to whether you were on the money or not? And
I never thought about that. I don't know if they thought about it or not, but I didn't give it a thought. I just wanted to make some good music.
Yeah. How could you tell? But did Alfred do anything different when something was right? I mean, did he nod his head or give
He got up and started dancing around the room.
Did he?
When it was happening.
Did he really?
Yeah, when the band was smoking, he got up and started dancing around the room.
Uh-huh.
Him and Frank.
Silver, who was William Schofield?
William Schofield was my piano teacher when I was a teenager back in Norwalk, Connecticut.
You started out actually on a saxophone. Wasn't that your first played?
No, I started out on the piano. I took up the saxophone later on.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. And Dr. Schofield said, worked with you, and you started out. Who were your early influences? Did you learn, like, chords and classical music?
That bugged me about classical music. You know, I love classical music, but, you know, nobody taught me any harmony, you know, in classical music. Like, I would play Claire de Lune or Fantasia Impromptu or Rhapsody in Blue or something, And then I would play it and I'd get it good, you know, I'd play it good. And then he'd say, well, okay, now I want you to memorize it. Yeah. So I'd go home and work on memorizing it. And I'd go to my lesson the next week and I'd try to play it by memory. And I'd make a mistake. And if I'd make one little mistake, I couldn't continue. I had to go start at the beginning and start all over again. Because I was learning it by rote, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't know the harmonizations of the chord. Like in jazz, if I made one mistake, I could keep going because I knew what harmonies I was playing, you know.
So our guest is Horace Silver. Because you've been associated funky with funky.
Funky is a slang expression that the musicians dug up some years ago. They formulated this expression. Funky just means a bluesy approach to something. You know, if a guy plays funky or if this tune sounds funky, it means it's bluesy. It has a bluesy feeling. It doesn't necessarily have to be a blues per se, a 12-bar blues. It could be a 32-bar tune. But if it has that bluesy feeling to it and that sound to it, then it's funky.
You're so damn prolific at writing music. You ever sit down at the piano and just go, oh, man.
Many times, yeah. I've sat there and I've said to myself, well, am I the same guy that wrote all these other tunes? I can't seem to get nothing going today, you know?
But now the inspiration comes from many places, like Filthy McNasty. Wasn't that from watching the W.C. Fields movie?
Right, yeah. Well, I tell you, a lot of my music I get in my dreams, you know, it's given to me, I feel, you know, some of it, you know, I get through inspiration from what goes on around me. Like, you know, I wrote a tune that I got together from listening to a bluebird chirp in my backyard, you know, and I took those little notes and I formulated it into a song, you know. And I wrote another song that I had one evening. I had the summer evening. I had the sliding panel doors open and my piano was there and I was fooling around the piano and I heard this cricket, you know. Now the cricket only sings one note, but he has a certain rhythmic pattern, you know. I took that rhythmic pattern and that one note and I fooled around with it and made a tune somehow out of it, you know.
Yeah.
So I get inspiration that way, you know, from life, from what goes on around you.
In recognition of one of Horace Silver's great compositions, Peace. Peace to Horace Silver. This is Philly Millie from his studio album Jazz Has a Sense of Humor from 1998. That concludes our Newport Jazz Festival edition, part one, for the checkout. Hear full sets of John Batiste and Darcy James Argue at npr.org/newportjazz. Special thanks to Steve Remote and Aura Sonic, the NPR crew, the Newport Jazz Festival, and Carolyn McClare. Hey now, The Checkout is a podcast. Subscribe to it on iTunes. Take us on the go. We are also online at checkoutjazz.org. And if you like what you hear, share us with your friends. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at checkoutjazz. Our producer is Simon Rentner. He's at Simon Rentner. The Checkout is a production of WBGO, Newark. I'm Josh Jackson. Thanks for listening.